I have returned. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again.
And welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers, coming to you live this Saturday morning, October 26th. Here, October is almost over, 2019. Gotta push those buttons, sometimes twice. Well, we say good morning to you, the remnant. We'll bring the men on. We've got a full crew this morning. Good morning, Brother Tim.
Good morning. Good morning. Glad to be here.
Amen. Amen. And good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And wrapping up the crew, good morning, Brother Jason. Glad to have you.
Good morning.
And again, we say good morning to you, the remnant. Thanks for joining us. We are here. Beautiful, beautiful sunrise this morning. Hadn't quite come up yet. Walking over to the office about a half hour ago. The moon is in a final crescent. But with the glow of the morning, you could see the whole moon, but just a bit of it was highlighted. And then the beginning of the morning glow back behind it. It was a beautiful sight. It really was. Plenty out there to give thanks to God for. Out in His creation. And all of His creation points to Him. Cries out to Him. Glorifies Him. And what a blessing to be able to see that this morning. Well, we'll have the phone lines open. John, we'll look to you to open us up in prayer first. We always... And that would be a good thing to remember, folks, to open, whether it's a trip, whether it's whatever. Open up in prayer. Open your day in prayer. John, we'll look to you for that.
Father, Father, we thank you for this time that you set aside on Saturday mornings for us to come together to encourage one another to love and goodness, just as your word says. And Lord, we ask for wisdom and understanding. discernment regarding what it is that's important for your people, the remnant, to know, and how it ties into prophecy and scripture and all the things that you've given us insight into. Father, we thank you for the revelation that you gave us that we needed to fast and pray for this last 24 hours, and the witches in the land and the warlocks and those that know not Jesus Christ, that openly threaten to find the President of the United States as well as those who support him. Father, we know that Satan is for us and all those that are against us, and that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And Lord, we thank you that the things in the dark are being brought to the light, and that they are falling in the traps that they lay and the pits that they dig. Father, that your word is being fulfilled in so many ways. And Lord, we can see the writing on the wall that the enemy is. They know that their time is up and that they're pulling out all the stops, trying to use all of the weapons that they have against your people. But Father, we have the faith to believe that you will bring us through whatever it is that we face. And Lord Jesus, you give us a promise in Psalm 91, the security of the one trusts in the Lord. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no enemy can withstand. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, with great confidence and on whom I rely. For he will save you from the trap of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you and completely protect you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a wall. Not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction, but death that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but danger will not come near you. You will only be a spectator as you look on with your eyes and witness the divine repayment of the wicked, as you watch safely shelter of the Most High, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent, for he will command his angels in regard to you to protect and defend and guard you in all your ways of obedience and service. They will lift you up in their hands so that you do not even strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion, cobra, the young lion, and serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he set his love on me, therefore I will save him. I will set him securely on high, because he knows my name. He confidently trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never abandon him. No, never. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him, and I will let him see my salvation. Amen. Psalm 91 from the Amplified.
Amen. Amen. I'm having some speaker issues here, guys, so let me know if everything's going out all right. SFA Live is going good. Check the phone lines there. Remember, you can call in if you'd like to and listen in on the line. And those numbers, 712-775-5613 and also 605-781-9781. Those numbers you can call and listen in. If you'd like to be part of the program, if you have a question or a comment, you can give us a call here at the office, 307-745-5913. That's the call-in line if you have a a question or a comment there. Well, Jason, what do you see going on? No, lots going on with current events, and we got a chance to talk a little bit yesterday. Working on the newsletter, but we'll ask you to start us off this morning. What are you seeing going on out in the world?
Well, there's a lot of things. I mean, we've got weather changes. We've got climate changes. We've got agricultural changes. You know, there's a lot of things that are going on. You know, I see what I've seen lately, and I want to encourage people to do is, you know, as Halloween approaches, and then as we see these witches, I mean, you know, since basically the only time that I can ever remember that witches gathering and attacking a U.S. president was, you know, since Donald Trump was running for president. Even before he got into the president's office, you know, they were gathering together, casting spells against him. You know, which basically I've seen a lot of witches and warlocks that have come out of the woodwork, so to speak. I don't remember ever seeing anything like that. Occasionally you'd see something, but it was very, very minute and minuscule considering what we've got going on today. Now we've got, you know, witches, you know, thousands of witches gathering together that are going to try to cast a spell or curse the President of the United States. That's something that that we didn't see in the past. You know, and as Halloween approaches, it's encouraging to, you know, let people know that they need to anoint their houses with oil. They need to pray over them. They need to anoint the doorposts, the lintels, dedicate them to the Lord, and to ask for the Holy Spirit to fill their house, to get rid of any of the evil, unclean spirits that are there. And, you know, I think that that's one of the things that as we do this, I've tried for many, many years to, you know, as Halloween approaches, you can feel the evil build up to, you know, to that day. And I think that that's what people need to be doing. I think it's really important. And I think as time goes on and the more that the times become evil and we see more of this witchcraft and sorcery taking place in our land, that that's one of the things that we need to be doing to protect our wives, our children, our families, our property, is to do just that. Use the anointing oil. Put it on the doorpost, the lintels, corners of the houses. You know, pray for that Holy Spirit to be there. Pray for those angels to be present there. Pray to repel that demonic forces of hell, that spiritual forces of wickedness. You know, everything from the dark side. For it to be repelled, to be gone, to be, you know, basically put those fences up. You know, it's kind of like in the ranch and industry, you walk your fences. You know, you get out sometimes, and sometimes that's just one of the things that you got to do. You got to get out. You know, you think you got good fences, you can see it, but you know, sometimes it's a good idea to walk your fences, see where you've got, not just where your animals can get out, but maybe where something can get in. And you know, make sure your perimeters are set, make sure that they're good. And I really want to encourage people to do that. You know, I think this is probably one of the most important times of the year for people to be doing that, and they need to be doing it.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. So
many there's a lot of people out there that talk about it, but, you know, it's there's a lot of people, too, that I've talked to about it, and it's like, oh, yes, that's a great idea. That's a fantastic idea. I'm going to do that. But do they actually do it? No. When you talk to them later on, oh, yeah, well, you know, how about them Broncos? How about this? How about that? You know, there was more important things to do, and it's one of the things that people need to do.
Amen.
Amen. You know, yesterday I don't know how many people caught it, but the lines were drawn. I mean, we've been talking about how the lines are being drawn in the spiritual realm and in with regards to the Bible, but the lines were drawn in the political realm yesterday as President Trump all but accused President Obama of being treasonous, not just the Obama administration, but President Obama himself. So if you think about that, we're kind of split in this country, 50% that are Republican name only, but that are at least conservative and believe in God, and the other 50% that have believed a lie, been brainwashed, whatever it is, that believe that the abomination, you know, was the answer to all of our problems, and the government is, and that kind of confrontation typically happens in the streets at some point. So it's really important, I think, that all of us understand that the battle that we're in is for America, the true JARUSALEM, and it will be won in the spiritual realm. I'm confident of that. And it won't be won unless God gives us the victory before we actually fight the battle. So it's critical that all of us who understand spiritual warfare continue to pray for our president, for protection for him, for protection for those that are in positions of authority that are making decisions. Continue to pray that the things in the dark were brought to the light. Continue to pray for confusion to be set into the camp of the enemy, and they turn upon one another and destroy one another, and, you know, for justice, righteous justice, God's justice, not man's justice, because already they're turning the narrative that Trump's using the DOJ, Department of Justice, now to expose or to come against the Democrats because they came against him. And, you know, it's really a game of chess, and the enemy, you know, sometimes I don't think we give them enough credit, but the bottom line is the moves that they're making are significant, and because they have the media and because the American people are so dumbed down, without God's intervention, without the spiritual intervention, you know, that they're going to win. I mean, without God's intervention and without his people who are called by his name, humbling themselves and praying, seeking his face, turning from their wicked ways. I mean, by no means is this thing a sure win for Christianity and conservatism and right versus wrong, good versus evil is really what the battle is. And, you know, you could see that yesterday. It's funny how they always accuse us of what they are. I don't know if you saw this, but I almost choked when I was drinking my coffee. Hillary uses the Cummings, Elijah Cummings, funeral to compare Trump to the corrupt King Ahab. So the former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton for the eulogy of Elijah Cummings compared Elijah Cummings to Elijah in the Bible, and then said how he would come against Ahab and Jezebel, and then basically compared them to Donald Trump and Melania. And boy, I tell you what, you talk about exposing. I mean, you look at Trump, there's way more comparison to Jehu than anything else, and she knows it, and she knows that it was Jehu that threw Jezebel down, and that Jezebel bitch is going to pay one way or another at some point, as long as we keep up our spiritual attack against the enemy.
Amen. You know, Psalms, Psalms 50 talks about that.
That's blasphemy, really.
It is. It is. Psalms 50 says, verse 16, it says, "But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to tell of my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you are pleased with him." I think that certainly applies. And it says, "And you associate with adulterers, and let your mouth loose in evil, and your tongue frames deceit. What right have you to tell of my statutes?" You know, that Mayor Pete Buttigieg was quoting scripture last week, and see, it has no strength, it has no effect, it has no power when it comes from the wicked. They think, we read stories, they think that they can buy their way in or use a scripture, verse or two, see, to appeal. And you know that's what they do. They, well, if you need to mention something about the Bible and this and that, and that's going to appeal to the Bible believers. But it doesn't. It has just the opposite effect. It shows their wickedness.
Richard, you need to turn your mic.
Oh, sorry. I start getting a little excited. I'll move the mic away a little bit. Anyway, I read that this morning.
No, don't move it away. Just turn it down.
Turn it down. I did. Sorry about that. But I read that this morning, and I thought of that very thing, John. When that's what the enemy does.
That's a perfect scripture.
They try to bring, the verses up, and it that power of God is not there. The power of God is for those that believe and those that obey. That is where the power of God is.
It was just like in Acts, was it Simon that wanted to buy the power to bestow the Holy Spirit? Similar, but listen to these quotes. Hillary Clinton on Elijah Cummings. Like the prophet, our Elijah could call down fire from heaven, but he also prayed and worked for healing. Like the Old Testament prophet, he stood against corrupt leadership of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Now, that's blasphemy, in my opinion. To compare this Elijah Cummings to Elijah of the Bible? Which is good, really, because what does the Bible say about blasphemy?
But then because
that scripture you read is perfect, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and Matthew 12:37 says, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And they're just condemning themselves with those own work with their own words, because the hypocrisy of those things, people. God's word doesn't return to him void. There's they look that up and go, what? And then they go, maybe get into it, take a look at it and go, oh, I think it's way, just like we're saying, more the other way around. I don't remember the exact details, but Melania, she went in there and purged the White House of all that evil stuff that went on, during the Obama being in there and putting all that stuff in, and we see that, and their own words are condemning.
Obama, but the Clintons too, with all of their voodoo stuff. But they even found idols in the walls and stuff when they were doing their remodeling. But
exactly, there's a lot of really bad things going on there. When we see all that, one of the things that I noticed was there was an article that came out, and they were talking here this week earlier about every time the wind blows, California is going to become Venezuela. And there's now the biggest blackout that California has ever faced right now is going on. 2.5 million people probably won't have power for days. Yeah, and I was sitting there thinking about darkness, Psalms 107:10 says, there were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. But then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. And I just thought, wow, we're seeing that on a national scale, but California is like the lead player in the whole show. It's like,
what's funny is they don't get it,
No,
they don't get it.
And repent.
They don't get it, that it's from God. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, they don't get it. And in fact, they war more against God every time something happens, and it's not gonna end well. But you know what? We need to pray for those. There's a lot of our people there in Northern California. I think most of this stuff's happening in Southern California. But Heavenly Father, we do. We lift up those that are yours in California, Father. What a beautiful state it was, Lord. And it could be again. But Father, we just ask for intervention regarding those that are yours, Lord. Specifically, those in the northern part of the state. Father, help those that may be in the southern part of the state to realize that it's set for destruction, Lord, if they continue on in their ways. And Father, cause them to flee. Open the doors that they need open. Close the doors that they need closed. Provide the provisions that they need, Lord. If it be funds, then provide that. If it be transportation, provide that. But Lord, we just ask that you would remember grace and mercy and compassion in your wrath, and that you would find your people worthy to escape the things that are coming. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ben,
it couldn't be more obvious, could it? That God's wrath is coming down upon that state?
No. That's what... You look at all the things that are going on. I mean, they got super higher fire warnings right down both sides of all those major slime holes, they call cities. I mean, you know, and there's all kinds of rumblings in the earth, I mean, going on in huge ways. They're actually, the general idea I get from reading is there's a lot of terrified scientists out there when they're seeing all these rumblings going, you know, we're not very far off from this big, massively big earthquake, you know, that could just totally destroy everything. And it's like, even those people who do not serve God are they know there's this blow about to strike. And I think the only thing saving them is kind of like you said, the people that are there that God spares, that stand for him. And there are those people there. I don't ever mean to sound like I'm not saying that there aren't those there who serve the Lord and who stand for God and make a difference. But wow, it's a state in turmoil. I mean, on every level. So,
amen to that. Yeah, the weather they've been having out there. You hear some of the talk shows and the news reports that they're talking about a new normal. That fall, every fall they have the winds. They have their Santa Ana winds. Vegetation dries out. It grows like crazy almost all year. Then it dries out with the winds, and then the fires come. And they're talking about, you know, establishing a new normal. Oh, this is how it is. But yeah, it cannot go on forever, and it won't. It absolutely won't. You know, last week had some tornadoes in Texas, rolled through Dallas, had power out to about 140,000 people. Had three tornadoes in North Dallas, an F3, an F1, an F0, destroyed homes. Didn't hear much about it. You know, used to, you'd when tornadoes would rip through, you would see and hear about it, but didn't hear much about this. But one thing that did come out of this, I thought was pretty neat, was Northway Church there in Dallas had its building torn apart, roof torn off, walls gone, stuff everywhere. Just, we've all seen destruction that comes from tornadoes. But the cross that's up in the front of the church remained. And that picture made it out and hit the news just for a minute, and then I did see it later in the week, but I got this printed midweek when it did. And so it was encouraging to them, the community and the church members. And they talked about how the building was destroyed, but the church, the body, was not. And they were, you know, that they certainly would rebuild, but it was just good seeing that as well, that they understood that it was not the church was not the building. And the people are there, and but what we call the church, this was a quote, but what we call the church, which is the people coming together in fellowship and helping one another. I thought a bit of good news, a bit of God saying, hey, I'm still here, even in the midst of this. And we've seen that in California as well, in the midst of some of the fires. There's certainly the state is not all ungodly, and we've seen that many times. Fires rip through, and then the only thing remaining standing, we've all seen them driving down, you know, people will have crosses up on the road, up on the hill, sometimes one, sometimes three. And I can think of a couple of pictures that I've seen that in the aftermath of California fires, that's all that was remaining. when Paradise, California burned about a year ago. We're within a couple weeks of the one-year anniversary. There were people there that took refuge in a church, and they prayed, and everything around it burned down, and they survived. Of course, you don't see that on CNN. They don't interview those people or that pastor. But we reported on that last year after that that horrible fire in Paradise, California. And so His word is true. He is that refuge. He takes us through the fire, through the river, whatever it is, that the trials and tribulations that we have, He takes us through them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we talked about, I think we talked about it last week, or at least we talked about it over the week, but that last Democrat debate and the fact that the Freedom From Religion Foundation ran an ad between hour one and two, basically the second witness, I think, to the resolution of the religious affiliated that I brought out in a message about how the Democrat Party has decided that they're going to put all their eggs in one basket, and that basket is to appeal to those that hate God and hate His people. And the fact that they ran that ad with Ronald Reagan Jr., sadly, that's the president, Ronald Reagan's son, who's, I guess, always been an agnostic and non-believer, and but for him to boldly say at the end that I've been an atheist all my life and I'm not afraid of burning in hell, and then Richard pointed out in one of the early morning news broadcasts that you can actually send a picture and your name to the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and they'll create a bumper sticker with your picture and your name that says, I am an atheist and I'm not afraid of burning in hell. Well, all I can tell you is watch out for a bunch of fiery crashes all around the country, because you can't, I don't think you can boldly proclaim those kind of things and God not deal with it.
Amen. Amen. It's like a club that they have that they can join, and because they are, there's that pride, and they are proud. It keeps reminding me of the parable of the tares and the wheat. The tares grow among the wheat until when? Until the time of harvest draws near. And that's when the tares are standing up straight and tall and proud and haughty, separating themselves from the wheat. It's not the wheat that separates itself. It's the tares that separate themselves. And I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing those that are proud of abortion, that are proud to be atheists, that are proud of this filth, proud of having depraved thoughts and actions, proud of being associated with this LGBTQDFP group that is just rebellion before God. And the harvest draws near. The harvest draws near, and the Bible says that the reapers are angels, and they will go and gather out all stumbling blocks, and they will be bound and bundled and burned. And I think we see that day drawing near.
Yeah, this is exactly what he said in that 30-second spot from the Freedom of Religion Foundation. Hi, I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusion of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective association of atheists and agnostics working to keep state and church separate, just like our founding fathers intended. Please support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
Yeah, that's a bunch
but,
of
you
words.
Know, well, yeah, but one of the significant things was, is if you go back and you look at the prayer that Ben Carson did when opening up a meeting, I can't remember exactly what the meeting was, but he, in his prayer, he basically exposed what the truth of church and state was, is that, you know, that the government was not to create a church and force the people to be part of that one religion. And I think it's significant that, you know, they basically proclaim the lie in this ad, and then these prayers that are being offered up nationally are exposing the lies.
Yes.
Amen. Amen, they are. You know, we've had a seen a, certainly an uptick in a book that we carry and people ordering it, and it's called The Chaplain and Clergy of the Revolution. And it is a 8.5 by 11 book, and it is full of the sermons and the stories that were told from the chaplain and the clergy along the time of the revolution, leading up to it. And you're absolutely right. See, our people have forgotten that there is no mention of the separation of church and state in any of our founding documents. It's mentioned in a letter from Thomas Jefferson in talking about it. But you're absolutely right that it is set up. It was set up. We had just come out of and under from under the Church of England that the government declared. And depending on the king, you might be Catholic this year. Next year, you might be Protestant. And you had to roll with the punches. You had to go with the whims of the king. And that is what our forefathers came against, one of the many things. They said that we'll be free to practice your religion, your belief, your faith here. It goes back to that Mayflower Compact, to the glory of God, to further the Christian faith. That is the document. That is what they had in mind when they, you know, when they wrote the amendments, when they wrote the Constitution, that the government will not dictate your religion, your faith. This country was built to further the Christian faith, and the government will not come against that. That is the, you know, the thoughts, the foundation of this nation. You want to find separation of church and state in a founding document? You go look at the Communist Manifesto, and you'll see it there. You read the Protocols of Zion, the Protocols book, and you'll see that that is one of the things that they push and promote, is having to get rid of religion, having to get rid of faith. It's that classic battle.
Well, absolutely, and
good versus evil.
The way they watered, I'm sorry, Richard. The way they watered that all down was by expanding it. You know, it was the whole melting pot philosophy that we've seen. They, you know, it's like all religions and all everything else just come, you know, because we're all about freedom of religion, and it was specified from the very beginning. You can read the foundation documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. You can read their papers. And you said that, Richard, but it was the Christian religion. It wasn't the Buddhist religion. It wasn't the, you know, Muslim religion. It was the Christian religion. And, there was no switch there. And as a matter of fact, they even specified some religions that people might think were Christian and weren't. One of them was at that time, and it's a very unpopular thing today, but if you were Catholic, you weren't allowed to hold public office, you know, back in the early years of our country. I mean, because you were controlled by something besides the Lord God Almighty, you know.
Amen.
And
amen.
And those precepts. So we see that there, and I think it's interesting that how they use the mainstream media to control the conceptualization and visualization of the American public through, you know, misdirection and misinterpretation, because there's a large percentage of people out there yet that identify as Christian and as God-fearing and God-serving, and they don't go along with that, but they're not the ones who rattle their sabers the most at this particular time and seek, you know, get all of the exposure on the media and everything else with pictures. I mean, they're out there raising their families, serving God in their daily walk with helping their neighbors and trying to take care of things and you know, raising their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But the point is we probably need to shift our focus a little bit to exposing those workers of iniquity and servants of Satan, you know. And I think that, well, that's what we're doing here. We're exposing the workers of iniquity. You know, we stand up and say, that's wrong, that's not, and here's why, you know. It's an opportunity to continue that. Like Jason said, anoint your properties and pray over those and don't move the markers. And, you know, you don't just have to wait to a special day to anoint your property. If you haven't done it yet, go do it today.
Amen.
Go do it tomorrow. I mean, get it done. It has effect regardless. When you know, there's no, God says that his word won't return to him void, and neither do our efforts. Whenever we go out and affect change and shine the light of God's glory on darkness, change is affected because God honors those efforts.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Remnant phone lines are open.
Interesting. This.
Go ahead, John.
I thought it was interesting. I thought it was interesting this week too. The headlines were the Pope, basically the Vatican, accuses conservative social media of fomenting hate after statues dumped Vatican City. In Reuters, the Vatican on Tuesday accused ultra-conservative Catholic social media of fomenting hate a day after militants stole statues they considered pagan idols from the church and dumped them in the Tiber River. I guess this was in the Amazon. But it's got a picture of the Pope with the headdress of the indigenous people holding some of their relics or something. But, you know, it's like there's men being rising up, just like when Gideon went in and tore down the Asherah. So that was encouraging to me. Obviously, they probably didn't throw away the statue of Mary and some of the other idols, but it's a step in the right direction, I think, that someone took a stand to throw away the things that they believed were pagan idols and symbols.
I've seen that too, those fertility goddesses or whatever for their, yeah, for their rituals that were the tree planting.
Yeah, the other thing. Yeah, the other thing that's going on that I think is interesting is the fact that you got cardinals and bishops that are rising up against the Pope too. Now that doesn't mean that they're going to find the truth about Christianity, but the reality is there's something rotten in Denmark, and they're starting to expose the Pope for what he is. So there's a whole lot to that story. I hope to actually bring a message regarding those key points here in the next few weeks, Lord willing.
Amen. Amen. You know, John, the thought occurs to me, it's more of the secrets that have been done are being made known. The things that were done in dark are being brought to the light. And when the light is shined on it, when people start returning to God, when they repent, when they start praying out to God, these things happen. The Spirit moves and lets those people know that, hey, listen, in your place of, if you're going to worship God, you can't have these female fertility things there. And so the people are getting rid of those. And, you know, the truth of the Pope and the Catholic Church and the abominations that have been going on there, their house of cards is falling. It's imploding. They're turning on one another, just like we're seeing the political parties. And I say, praise the Lord. It is answered prayer. God says, call out to me and I'll answer. And it's not that the whole country has done that, because the whole country's not going to do that. They're not. But it doesn't take 20%. I don't think it takes 10%. But however much it does take, people are doing that. They are asking God to open their eyes, and they are repenting, and God is hearing, and He is turning. He is letting these things that have been done in dark, the light of Christ, the light of His Word is being shined on them, the light of truth, and they're being exposed.
You know, one of the things that that Melania did, I think, that woke up a lot of people was when she prayed the Lord's Prayer in public.
Yes.
And I don't know if you remember, but the gnashing, the literal gnashing of teeth of the enemy. How dare you pray the Lord's Prayer? That's what God told us to do, you know?
Right.
And it's more significant than people realize, I think. Does Trump have faults? Absolutely. Is he a saint? No. But God rose him, brought him here and rose him up to be a warrior. And like we've been saying for 3 years now, I believe it's been 3 years, but it's a window of opportunity for his people who are called by his name to humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways so that he will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. And that window, I mean, right now, like I said earlier, the demon rats, which is what they are, have pulled out all the stops. And, you know, they have, if you look at the, in the physical realm, they have the big guns, so to speak. They have the media, and they have probably more money than we have to fight. And, you know, they have all the things that in the physical realm would give them victory. But in the spiritual realm, we have the victory if we remain faithful and if we continue to fervently pray. I think it's so important that if you haven't read or listened to the books when you're traveling sometime to the This Present Darkness and Into the Darkness by Frank Peretti, that you do that, because it's basically, I think, God's showing us similarities to the things that we're going through, and that how it's the Christian's duty to hear ye the Lord and do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do, but also to provide that prayer power to protect the righteous angels as they battle Leviathan in the high places. And for some reason, God convicted me of that ever since I listened to those books on tape when I was traveling. And if you haven't, it's worthwhile, in my opinion.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. My opinion, too. I think the first time that I listened to those books was the first one was 14, 15 years ago. And actually, I read the book, and then I was really excited when it came out on audiobook and listened to it several times since. But it changes. It, to me, is what it did is it put more of a color picture in your prayer life. It made your prayers more powerful. It made you think about just a lot of different things that, you know, maybe you don't think about.
Amen. Amen. Folks, we've got those books.
You know,
they're great books.
Yeah, and as we were, John, why don't you tell them a little bit about the Day of Prayer and Fasting and what that's about and what's going on there? It's ending, you know, today, but at the same time, it's like, the reason behind it was, they're calling it a witch hunt. And, I got an article here that I'm just going to want to read a little bit of. It says, a week before Halloween, opponents of President Trump will gather in thousands to cast a spell on the administration to prevent the administration from harming the country. Participants in the ritual, which has been performed regularly since Trump's inauguration, are taking particular encouragement from Democrats' launch of impeachment inquiry, which they say is a sign their efforts are working. I'm willing to go on record and say it's working, said Michael Hughes, the self-described magical thinker and activist who came up with the ritual. The spell is crafted to bind Donald Trump and all those who abate him, and is supposed to be performed during every waning crescent moon until Trump is removed from office. And, you know, those are some of the forces that we're fighting against each and every day. They're out there doing this on a, you know, how many Christians are out there, you know, praying for the president, praying for the leader of this country on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis? It's a war. It just shows you that there is a spiritual war waging, that is going on each and every day, that there's those that are warring against this country, that there's those that are warring against this country's leadership, and we need to be fighting them.
And like you said, Jason, it's never happened in the past. That ought to be a wake-up call for everyone.
Amen.
The fact that never in my lifetime has any president ever faced open
witchcraft, you know, sorcery, basically, that they're putting on notice of what they're doing and been publicly proclaiming it.
Open attacks. Open attacks in the spiritual realm. Never, ever.
Exactly.
Never, ever in a million, you know, never as long. I bet you could ask someone who's 85, 90 years old, and they say, nope, never seen it before in my life.
Amen.
So that tells you. So, you know, those of you that doubt that God raised up President Trump for a reason, the first clue should have been that everybody hated him before he was even elected, including the Pope, including so-called Republicans. That should have been the first clue that he was the one that God raised up to try to deliver us from evil.
Amen.
And so that's,
you know,
all I got to say.
You know, it's interesting too, John, that if you look back 10, 20 years ago, Donald Trump, before he was president, everybody loved him. The Hollywood and the politicians, Democrat, Republican, former presidents,
Clintons,
everybody. Oh, you can see there's pictures. Everybody smiles. Everybody wanted to be around Donald Trump. Everybody wanted to, you know, here's this self-made millionaire. Here's this, you know, the American dream, the man that's come up and made it here in America. But then when you're absolutely right, when he gets put in that position and he's calling them out, because he does. I think he's truthful when he says, let's put America first. You know, when he accepts the prayers and his wife is unashamed to pray the Lord's Prayer, that is so, it is night and day different from anybody we've had before. You know, 1 Timothy, we've read it before. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority. Now, is that just to please God? No. It says why? So that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And you ask yourself, has it been a better life in godliness and dignity in the last 3 years versus the previous 20 or 30? And I say that it has. That it has. It's that reprieve that you talk about, John. It is. That's what it looks like, folks. That's what a reprieve looks like. It's not just that everything is rosy and perfect. No, but it has been more tranquil. It has been more quiet, in more godliness and dignity, so that you can return to your God. And the choice is there. The Bible says, you want me to come at you with a rod or with love and comfort? And you know, every knee will bow. Ron Reagan Jr. may not be afraid of burning his hell, but you know what? He will be. He will be, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So says the Word. And that time is coming. It may come for some sooner than others, but it's coming. It is coming. And he may not. He can, you know, think he stands now, but he should take care lest he fall, because he will. He will. And so, Remnant, we are to pray, as you've heard the men say today. We are to pray for our leaders. We are to pray for those in authority. For your governor. You know, pray for your governor. Now, John and Jason, you got a governor there in Colorado, or John, you do, and I got a governor here in Colorado, or in Wyoming, a little different. But we can still pray for him. We can pray for him to be led. God said Nebuchadnezzar was his servant. Nebuchadnezzar was his servant. And God moves the hearts of kings like he moves rivers. So says the Word. And so we are.
Yeah.
We are to pray for our leaders. You have problems in your county? Pray for your county commissioners. God says, call out to me and I'll listen. Go ahead.
One of the most significant comparisons with Donald Trump and Jehu, in my opinion, is the fact that most people don't understand it, but when you read the story, Jehu was a commander under Ahab initially. So that means initially he believed in child sacrifice. He believed in all of the things that Jezebel promoted and Ahab promoted. And he changed and he turned against
Amen.
Ahab and Jezebel. Well, it's is that not the same thing? Donald Trump, just like you mentioned, was one of them. He was a demon rat. He used to support abortion. He used to do all of these things. And then he found the Lord. And has he found the Lord as much as he needs to? No. Have all of any of us really evolved to the place where we need to? The Bible says we're to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I encourage you to go and listen to the prayer that Pastor Andrew Brunson prayed over President Trump as a blessing, and take heed to how he prayed it, that you heard the name Jesus whispered when you came into this office. May you go out proclaiming it boldly in the coming days.
Amen.
So what he's saying basically is no king but King Jesus.
That's right.
And at the end of his prayer he says, in the name of Jesus, my king.
That's right. It's a great...
Listen to it.
It
and
is.
You better, and say amen with every single thing that he prayed, because everything he prayed is just like we pray.
It is. It is. Folks, you got that? We've sent it out on text. It's available. Take a look. Search it out and take a look. Well, men, we are out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us this morning. And I want to invite you to church. You can come to church with us. You can go to scriptures4america.org and click on the live video stream. That'll start at 8:30 Sunday morning Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And that's 7:30 for you guys out on the West Coast. And join us. And we'll have fellowship and praise to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. We'll partake of communion and remember what our Lord and Savior did. And so we do encourage you to do that. Like we always say, if you're going to join us in person, give us a call. Looks like some weather might be around, so you got to check the roads. But give us a call if you're going to join us in person. But otherwise, just join us right there at the website, scriptures4america.org. If you don't have good enough video service, but you'd like a recording of it as well, you can request the DVD Church. We do record it, and we send out hundreds on Monday morning to the remnant that requests that. So we'd be glad to do that. Our address, Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And with that, we'll say have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you in church tomorrow.
Rolling, shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling. Though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, snake high.
Moving, though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting,
be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.